that the love of God is the greatest attribute, that God loves sinners so much that he would never send them to hell. And there was a conservative group, and they were saying, God's holiness will not bend. God is holy. And they said, in heaven, God is, the angels are shouting back and forth, holy, holy, holy. And the discussion was going on about which one of his attributes is the greatest. And as I sat and listened to them arguing the debates, I began to think about the holiness of God, and that because God is holy, he can allow sin in his presence. But if you were to ask me, Steve, where do you stand? Which of his attributes do you think is the greatest? I would have to tell you that I'm siding with love. Because he loved us so much, he overcame the problem that kept us from coming to heaven. He then made us holy. God so loved the world. He's not so holy he couldn't make a way. He loved us so much he found a way. And that is so exciting. And at first I was siding with the holy group, and I said, you know what? If there's anything that will be chanted throughout all history, it's going to be the love of God. Every time we see Jesus and we see the nail print hand, we will shout, love, love, love. If it was not for Calvary's love, there would be no hope. We tremble in the presence of his holiness. God is holy and he cannot allow sin in his presence. But thank God for his love. Because it's through his love that you and I have hope. My assignment this morning is to deal with loving God's vision for world missions. And I would like to propose that how we view the Word of God will have the greatest impact on how we view the world of God. How I view the Word will impact how I view the world. And when men do not have a love for the Word of God, I find they don't have a love for the world. It seems to go hand in hand. The more I love his Word, the more I love the world for whom he died. Because this is the story of God's love and redemption. God loves the world. And we're going to be thinking about our duty when it comes to loving the Word of God, which we've been told the word vision literally means the revealed Word of God to us, and that's what the Bible is. I would ask you to turn with me this morning in your Bibles to Psalms 119. Psalms 119 seems to be a wonderful treatise on the psalmist's love for the Word of God. He begins by telling us a truth in verses 1 and 2. He introduces the psalm with truth. And it says, blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with what? The whole heart. That's talking about love. And so the psalmist is telling us that the undefiled in the way, that's the man who walks with integrity. He says, the walking with integrity is talking about a way of life, our character. And he says that we walk in the law of the Lord. Listen, you can't walk in the law of the Lord unless you know the law of the Lord. Because when you walk by the flesh, you will never be walking in the law of the Lord, because there are opposites. And so you're going to have to study the Word of God. And he says, blessed are they that keep his testimonies. That means obey his word. And so as we look at what does it mean for us to be loving God's vision for world missions, it's going to talk about our relationship to this truth, the word that we've received. And now as he's praying, he begins by making a request of God. A request of God. And this is his request. We find it in verses 36 and 37. The psalmist requests. He says, incline my heart unto thy testimony, and not to what? You know, we have a problem with covetousness. It comes naturally. We naturally see things and want them. We see people have things and we desire. We're naturally covetous people. And he says, Lord, incline mine heart unto thy testimonies and not to covetousness. Because naturally I covet. But when you incline my heart towards your law, I become a different person towards your testimonies. 37, he says, turn away mine eyes from beholding what? And quicken thou me in thy way. Listen, this is the struggle of our life. Lord, my eyes are always going to worthless things. My eyes are always looking at things that won't matter in eternity. I need heavenly help with this. I need you, God, to turn my face so that I'm stopping myself from looking at what's natural and what's common and ordinary and where the crowd is growing. I need divine intervention. Lord, turn away mine eyes from beholding worthless things that will never matter. If you look at your life and you ask how much of your time do you spend doing worthless things, then you know how to pray like the psalmist, turn away mine eyes from looking at or beholding these worthless things. And he says, quicken thou me in thy way. Do you know quickening is talking about life? It's about revival. Revive me to love your way. Do you know what I need daily? Daily I need to turn from the world and fall in love with God again. I need my heart quickened. And this is his prayer. So as he begins, he starts with telling us the truth, that those that love the law of God are blessed. Then he says, I need help, that I would stay in the law of God. Incline my eye, and then he says, turn mine eye. Incline my heart, and turn my eye. These are my two problems. My heart is always going astray, and my eyes are always looking at wrong things. So God, I need a divine intervention in my life. Then, the rest of the psalm, he goes on to teach promises that he's making to God. And I want you to see some of these promises that he makes. A love for God will be seen in a love for his word. Do you understand that? If you tell me you love God, the natural outcome has got to be you have a love for his word. I was with a man who's in a home of addiction. He was incarcerated and let out. And I asked him, can you tell me about your relationship to the Lord? He said, I have a burning hot friendship with Jesus Christ. I love the Lord. And he's telling me about this. But you know what? He doesn't know what the word says. And he's not obeying the word. Jesus said, if you love me, do what? Keep my commandments. I can't tell my wife I love her and then do things that she hates. It will not communicate my love. And we think just telling God with our lips we love him does not impress him. He wants to see that we love him with our life, walking in the way. And I want you to see what the psalmist says that he did. Number one, I want you to see this first promise. Look at verse 47. This is how you know you love the law of God. He says, and I will delight myself in thy commandments, which I have loved. Delight myself. To me, that's a very interesting word. Because, you know, whenever I delight in doing something, no one has to make me do it. I can't wait to do it. Now, if you tell Dr. Mike he's going hunting, he's happy. He's happy before, you know, and he has sprayed animal urine on me when he's taking me out hunting, and he thinks it's funny. He says, I got to put some buckler on you. And I said, what is buckler? I'm a city boy. I have no idea what buckler is. I'm just going out with Dr. Mike because he wants me to go hunting because he wants me to shoot something. And I'm like, I know how to hunt at Walmart, Kroger's. I know how to hunt. I find the meat, I buy it, I go home. And my wife says, Steve is great. And I'm happy with that. But Dr. Mike wants to introduce me to a new delight. But if you want me to be happy, I've got to be in a boat water skiing because that's what I delight in. That's what makes me happy. I don't get happy out hunting, but I get happy in water skiing. And see, you all have delights, things that you like doing. And the psalmist says, and I will delight myself in thy commandments, which I love. My hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments, which I have loved. And I will meditate in thy statutes. Do you know how you love the word of God? You find that it's your delight. And he says, you lift up your hands. That speaks of honor. You honor the word of God. When you pray, you say, hallowed be thy name. Do you know what that means? May your name be lifted up. Literally, you want to take God's name and lift it up with your hands. Lift up the name of God. And he's saying, listen, I love your law, Lord, and it's my delight to be in your word, and your law is the thing that I meditate in. And he said that I lift up my hands, I honor your word. So the first thing, if you love the law of God, it will be your delight. And you need to tell God, God, I delight in your word. You can't tell God you love him and tell him you don't delight in his word. That'd be like telling my wife I love her, and when she sends me a text or an email, I don't read it. And when I get home, she says, did you get my text? I said, no, I was busy, I didn't read it. If I delight in her, when her name comes up, that's the first one I read. Her is the first, because I delight in her. And I want to know what she wants to tell me. I delight in her words, in her voice, in her call, in her presence. And we must delight in the word of God. He goes on, and I want you to turn with me over to verse 97. In 97, he tells us another promise. He says, oh, how I love thy law. It is my what? Meditation, and I want you to see this all the day. Thou, through thy commandments, hast made me wiser than my enemies, for they are what? Now, all the day and ever with me. What does that tell you? All the day and ever with me. They're his constant guide. They're his constant guide. He doesn't look into the law every now and then, but he's meditating in it all the day, and he has it because it's ever with him. It has a right place in his life. He meditates on this, and he's saying, listen, God, I love your law. I use it all the time. It's a constant use. This isn't the book I go to when I'm in trouble. This is the book I'm in all the time. Some people, when they have a problem, go to the Word of God, and that's the problem. You wait until you had a problem to go to the Word of God. We should be in the Word all the time because we what? We love God's law. And so he tells us, and he goes on in verse 99, he says, I have more understanding than my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients because I keep thy precepts. Listen, he is boasting that he has a greater knowledge than his teachers and the ancients because if you have the Word of God, you know more than everybody else. The smartest man in the world believes in evolution, but guess what? My little daughter believes that God created the heavens and the earth. Makes her just a little bit smarter than the smartest man in the world. She knows more than the ancients and more than her teachers because she knows the Word of God, and this is truth. And when you know the truth will set you free indeed. And so the psalmist says, listen, I promise God, I find my delight in your word, and I promise you, Lord, your word is my constant use. He goes on in Psalms 113 to tell him something else. Another promise. He says, I hate vain thoughts, but thy law do I love. Now, what are vain thoughts? Vain thoughts are worthless thoughts, empty thoughts. He says in verse 114, thou art my hiding place and my shield, I hope in thy word. And he's saying, listen, I use your word. I have hope in your word. The world has a bunch of vain thoughts. But when I study your word, I find hope. I find truth. Because that's what's in your word. And I keep your precepts because I know they're from you and they're right and they're good and they're going to bless my life. He goes on after he tells that guy, he makes another promise. He says in 119, Psalms 119, thou puttest away all the wicked of the earth like dross. Therefore, I love thy testimonies. Listen, my flesh trembleth for fear of thee, and I am afraid of thy judgments. You know what he's promising God? I respect this book, because I know we're going to be judged out of this book. You better fear this book. A holy respect for this book will save you a lot of misery. Because if you disobey his word, we will be judged out of this book. Rewards will not be given to anybody. Rewards will be given to someone who does something right for the right reason, because that's what the book says. The book doesn't say you can just do right. You have to do right for the right reason. You can't give an offering plate and think you're placating God, getting on his good side, put a 20 in the offering plate, and I'm just telling God I appreciate him. Listen, you pay your tithe because it's due. You don't throw God a bone like he's a dog. He's the King of kings and Lord of lords. You have to do the right things because you know this is the book that we're going to be judged out of, and you live in fear of this book. And when you want to make a decision, you say, I have to check the judgment book because one day I'll be judged from this book. And he says, God, I fear your word because I know one day I'll be judged according to this, not according to him, not according to him, not according to what she did or she did. This will be the book upon which I'm judged. So if someone hurts you or harms you and you say, because of that, I'm doing this. No, that's not the judgment. The judgment's out of this. Vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. Do what God's told you to do. Then you understand what the psalmist is saying. God, you deal with wicked people. You're going to put them away. That's why I love your law. He goes on further to tell him in 127, therefore I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold. Therefore I what? Esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. It's about time we started esteeming the Word of God like it should be. This book is like no other book. It should be above all the other books. Esteem means it's held in a higher position. There's no book like this book. And the psalmist is telling God after he said, turn my eyes, turn my heart. He said, Lord, I esteem your word. Therefore, I love your commandments above gold. Listen, that's showing how precious it is to him. It's his treasure. He esteems it more important than money that he can make. He esteems it more than fame that he can gather. He says, I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right. It's about time we said God is right and we are wrong. Homosexuality is wrong, not because I say it is wrong. It's wrong because God says it's wrong. Abortion is not wrong because I say it's wrong or the church say it's wrong. It's wrong because God says it's wrong. And we need to start esteeming his word and said, this is the standard. And if you say you're narrow, listen, we esteem the word of Jesus Christ. He is the only way, the truth, and the life. And I'm not narrow-minded. I'm esteeming the word of God. And God has made things very narrow. He says, straight is the gate. You keep reading in the psalm and you see that not only does he esteem the word, look with me at 140. He says, thy word is what? Very pure. Therefore thy servant loveth it. Listen, the idea of very pure, if you've ever had very pure gold, it means that thing has been heated, it's been tested, it's tried, and there's no dross in it. Listen, every word of God is pure. It's valuable, it's tested, it's tried. Listen, you're not going to pick up this book and put it to the test. It's already pure. And it won't be pure when you say it's pure. It was pure long before you ever came. This is his word, and it's settled in heaven, and it's pure. It is the word of God. And it's time that we started telling God, God, thy word is pure, therefore I love it. I've read a lot of books that were trash, but when I read this book, I know it's pure. This is truth, and I can trust it. I don't have to test it. It's already tested and tried, and it's been stamped by the hand of God. And the psalmist tells God that. We go on and we look at his relationship to the Word. We go to Psalms 159. Psalms 159 says, consider how I love thy precepts. Quicken me, O Lord, according to thy loving kindness. Thy word is what? True from the beginning. And every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. Do you know we can trust this book? That's what he's saying. I love your law. Quicken me, O Lord, according to thy loving. Thy word is true from the beginning. Listen, there's no other way of salvation. It's about time we believed what God said. And this is the record that God has given of his Son. He that hath the Son hath what? And see, that's the truth. And if you tell me you believe there was a Jesus, but you don't believe he's God, you don't have the truth. Because that's not what the Word says. And so you're not going to trick me into thinking that all religions lead to God, because they don't. Because if you don't know Christ, you don't have salvation. And that's what the Word teaches. And here the psalmist is saying, thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. We need to promise God that we believe his word. We go on and we see in verse 163, he says, I hate and abhor lying, but thy law do I love. I hate and abhor lying. Listen, it's about time we fell in love with the truth. Every time someone lies to me, they take me into bondage. Lies will destroy you. You tell lies, you have to tell more lies, and you have to tell more lies. But when you tell the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth, you don't have to lie again. This is the truth. This is the truth. And no matter how many times you're examined, you just bring out the truth. And you will see that God's vision for world missions is truth. And we need to be in love with the truth, because we know it's only the truth that can set you free. He goes on to tell us that he finds his peace in the Word of God. Look at 165. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Do you like that verse? Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Listen, we love God's vision because it gives us peace. I don't go to bed at night wondering if I die in the night where I'm going to go. I have peace. That I'm in a right relationship with God. And you know what? If you tell me otherwise, you will not steal my peace. You will not offend me, because I have found a place where my faith has found its resting place, and I have a peace. I have the indwelling Holy Spirit that witnesses with my spirit that I'm a child of God, and I know I've been sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, and I have hope. And the world wants to steal that from us. The world wants to mock at us. The world wants to say, is that really what you believe? Noah and the ark, two by two, and they make fun of the Word of God, the miracles, 6 days of creation. And I'm telling you, this book has given me peace. And you know what? If when I say Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior and He's God that offends you, well, I'm sorry, that's truth. And we're living in a society that says we should not offend other people. But I know that this hope that I have that gives me peace, I will not be offended. I will not be moved. I will not be pushed back. And the church has got to put its foot down and says, we not only believe this book, we love this book. It is the source of truth and the benchmark upon which we're going to try everything by. We go on to verse 168 and listen to what the psalmist says. I have kept thy precepts and thy testimonies, for all my ways are before thee. I have kept thy precepts. Listen, if we tell God we love Him and we don't want to obey this book, we're nothing but liars. That's what we are. Jesus said, or God says, if you love me and you hate your brother, if you say that you love me and hate your brother, you're a what? You're a liar. And the truth is not in you. So what if we tell God, God, we love your word, but we don't read His word, we don't apply His word, we don't listen to His word, we don't obey His word, we don't find peace in His word, it's not our delight, we don't meditate on it, we don't have hope in it, we don't respect it, we don't esteem it, we don't see it as pure and tested and tried, we don't place our faith in it, we don't trust it, and we say, you know what, God doesn't understand my situation, it's a little bit different. You know, people like to tell me that. In Ghana they'll say, Pastor, you don't understand our culture. I can't apply that to me because you don't. And I say, you know what, this book overcomes all culture. The God who made us, this is His word. And American culture, African culture, Asian culture will not preempt the word of God. A love for the word of God esteems it above everything else. And if your culture says this book won't work, I'm just going to keep on trusting God. Because God says it'll work. It's His word. And now, when we look at this Psalms 119 and see all the promises that He made to God, this is my relationship to your word, this is my relationship to your word, God, He ends the Psalm by saying this. Look at 174 as He draws the Psalm to an end. He says, I have longed for thy salvation, O Lord, and thy law is my delight. I have longed for your salvation, and thy law is my delight. I'm brokenhearted when God's vision for world missions is set on a side burner. When a pastor tells me things in the church aren't going well and we're cutting our missions budget, we're dropping our mission support, I can pretty much tell you that Ichabod will soon be written on that church. The glory of the Lord, the blessing of the Lord, the delight of the Lord is about to depart. Because if we understand, I have longed for thy salvation. Do you know what? I'm saved, but I'm still longing for my Savior to come. And I'm longing for others to get saved. I'm longing that others would know Him like I know Him. I'm longing that others would love this book like I love it. I'm longing that those that I go out and witness to will confess that Jesus Christ is God. And then they would come to church and fall in love with Christ and go to the baptismal tank and then live a life that is in obedience to this word, that they would have the same peace that I have from this word. And to me, as I read this statement of the psalmist, I have longed for thy salvation, O Lord, and thy law is my delight. If God's law is really our delight, then missions should make us very happy. Because missions, getting God's vision to the world, should make us the happiest people in the world. And I'm broken sometimes when pastors talk about if you give the faith promise missions, God's going to bless you. And it's usually a financial blessing. I think the greatest blessing we receive from giving to missions is knowing that souls are getting saved. I mean, we invest in a lot of things, and the dividends are pretty crummy. But when you invest in missions, you're investing in souls getting saved. What better dividends could we have? What greater delight could we have than knowing that the more I love His Word, the more I delight in doing it, the more people come to know Christ, the happier God is. All of a sudden, you see the circle. The circle is the more I love the Word, the more I love the world. The more I love the Word, the more I love the world. And when you stop loving the Word, you stop loving the world. Pastors will constantly say, this book will keep you from what? Or sin will keep you from the Word. So what keeps us from delighting in the Word of God? It's our sin. It's a constant struggle. And as I read through this psalm and I was seeing in place after place after place, the psalmist is in love with the Word of God. I think we need to realize that the more I love my God, the more I find myself in love with what He has said. Trusting it, believing it, and wanting the world to get it. You cannot tell God, I love you, and not be in love with the ones He died for. Because God so loved the world that He gave. And there is no love without expression. If you say you love and there's no action, that is an empty love. Like saying you believe and there's no works, that's a dead faith. And I just want to beg you this morning, as we come to this time when we think about loving God's vision for world mission, could you look up to heaven and with your life testimony say, God, my life is a proof that I love your word. I have peace because of your word. I have delight in your word. I use your word as my constant guide. When I'm making decisions, I check the word. When I want to know what to be judged on, I fear the word of God. When I'm looking for truth, I know where to go. When I want to find pure gold, I know where to find something greater than pure gold. And see, the psalmist, writing one of the longest psalms, is the psalm of love for the word of God. If anything should cause us to sing, it should be our love for this book. Oh, how I love the Word of God. And it should fill our heart with a song that those around us know, you know what? That man loves the Word of God. And it's not just because of his song, it's because of the life that matches the song. Heavenly Father, help us to love your Word more and more. Help us to esteem it above anything else. Cause it to be our light that directs us, guides us, and keeps us from evil. Father, we thank you for this sweet time in your word this morning. And I pray that every one of us would leave here loving your word more than when we came. I ask this in Jesus' name.